Hi, this is Rolf from Winterstrain, and you're listening to 99.1 CJAM FM.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
My guest today says UFOs are real. What do you think? I have to say I'm inclined to believe it, or at least I hope it's true. I have a hard time believing the only life in the universe is right here on Earth. T.L. Keller is an aerospace engineer and graduate of the School of Engineering, University of California at Los Angeles. He received his master's in business administration from the University of California, Berkeley, and a master's in management science from the University of Southern California. And Keller was a computer systems analyst at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, and developed a computer system for the management of resources for JPL's interplanetary exploration projects. His experience in the aerospace and construction industries led to the development of SpaceMax, a space station construction simulator, a project management simulator for the construction of the first commercial space station. Keller has also worked for Douglas Aircraft and British Aerospace. T.L. Keller, welcome to You Talking to Me.
Well, good morning, Big JD. Thank you very much for inviting me on your program.
I got to ask you, right off the bat, give me a one-word answer. Are UFOs real?
Yes,
they
are.
Show's over, folks.
There are two types of UFOs. And sometimes when I explain this, people's jaw just drops. There are real solid UFOs or objects that are manufactured off this planet in other parts of the our galaxy and other galaxies. And the second type of UFOs that are real solid objects are those that are manufactured right here in California.
And most of the sightings, you say, are hoaxes and hallucinations, and just 5% are real solid objects? It seems so low.
I would say that's probably about right. People misidentify these aircraft that are in black projects that are basically secret, and they're in a stage of testing and development, and people have never seen them before, and some of them look very strange, but they're... So they're misidentified as extraterrestrial UFOs.
Right, and those are the things you say. They're manufactured under contract, I guess, for the government, and that's
correct. And I'm talking about flying discs as well. In other words, in short, the U.S. government has contracted with Lockheed Martin, Boeing, and Northrop Grumman, plus a number of other companies over the last six decades as part of a American anti-gravity technology program.
Tell us about that program, the anti-gravity program. What is that exactly?
What it is, basically, is that we have come up with some technologies going back to the 1920s that were created by an individual called T. Townsend Brown. And this technology allows, in his particular case, circular-shaped craft to be able to rise vertically against gravity without any external propulsion. And we've also received technologies from extraterrestrial craft which have crashed or have been given to us in complete form and operational form from extraterrestrial or interdimensional beings. Now, that's all quite a bit to take in, but that's basically it. And we have recovered these technologies, and sometimes it's called retroengineering. We have basically broken them down to understand how they operate, and then we have reproduced our own vehicles to replicate those technologies. And these devices have been in operation for a number of years. They were built and tested and developed a number of years ago, and we are now in the process of actually training American Air Force and Navy pilots to fly these devices.
Now, out of curiosity, why is it so much that we have to reverse engineer when, I mean, if extraterrestrials are here on the planet and so forth, why don't we get that information directly from them? Why do we have to tear this stuff down and find out how everything works?
Well, originally, this goes back to the 40s, where there were crashes, and we didn't know how they operated. We had no clue what made them work. And so they started studying these devices over and over a period of years. But also, we've simply been given operating examples of them by, let's say, other extraterrestrial beings. Mm-hmm. Now, it's important to understand that there's more than one extraterrestrial being that has visited this planet. Some people say there are 10 different species of beings.
Sure.
And other people say there are literally 57 different types of species. And some people say there are a lot more than that. But these beings are coming here from different sources, from different star systems, and they have visited Earth, and in fact, they're living here. That, in a nutshell, is the big picture.
What about the treaty? You speak of a treaty between the government,
yes,
and extraterrestrials.
I prefer not to use that word treaty, actually,
mm-hmm,
when I speak, because a treaty assumes that the Congress, our Congress in Washington, has approved this treaty, and I'm not saying that that has actually happened, because
okay,
I don't think most of our senators and Congress people are aware of this. Some are, but not all of them. What I'm suggesting is that there has been what you might call a very secret agreement that has been signed effectively by certain members of an elite group of people here in the U.S. with extraterrestrials. And the purpose of this agreement is simply that we wanted their technologies, and I'm not talking about just anti-gravity technologies. I'm talking about many different types of technologies that, if you think about it, they must have, as well as being able to fly at great speeds through our airspace and land and take off vertically. But anyway, what I'm suggesting is that these are technologies that I'm talking about the American government, mm-hmm, and probably other governments as well, that wanted, and in exchange, we have given them something. And so the question becomes, what is it that we have given them? What would they want? And basically, I'm suggesting that we have given them certain space on our land, or are under our lakes or oceans, so that they can have a base of their own to come to. And so this is what has been happening over a long period of time. And some of these beings are part of this agreement. And of course, not all of the beings that come here have that agreement. But I believe, and I have reason to believe, that this is what's happened over the last decades.
You mentioned the possibility of offering them space here, and I know that there are a lot of reports of UFOs underwater and coming out of oceans and things like that. What is, how much truth would you believe to that to be true under the oceans, and possibly even hollow Earth, if that's related at all in any way?
Well, the subject of hollow Earth gets into a whole other realm of possibilities,
mm-hmm,
but I'm just trying to concentrate on what evidence that I have seen and heard.
Sure.
There have been reports that these devices do go into the oceans and into lakes, and they have been seen coming doing the reverse. But the point being is, my sense is that some of these bases that have been part of this agreement have been built probably by the American government, so that these beings have a place to do whatever research or work that they want to do here. But also there are places on the land, on the American continent and elsewhere, where these beings are able to land and live, essentially, and do their work and whatever it is that they want to carry out on Earth.
Does the moon have any significance as far as our area here? And
sure.
Extraterrestrial?
Yes, I know that how difficult this will be for your listeners to accept. There's an individual by the name of Wolf. He was an Air Force airman who years ago was asked to come in and do some repairs in a photographic development laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was doing repairs, another airman made a comment to him that when the Apollo photographs were being returned and been developed and were being analyzed, they discovered structures on the backside of the moon. And his immediate reaction was, I don't want to know about this because I don't have a security clearance that would cover that. Now, this individual, if you're familiar with the name, he is part of Dr. Stephen Greer's Disclosure Project. And in the year 2001, he was one of many different eyewitness individuals who gave their testimony to the National Press Club. This is a fairly well-announced event that took place, 10 years ago. But he told his story about seeing these images of actual structures on the backside of the moon. Of course, my question is, whose structures are they, and who built them? Now, you have to think about this. Let's just say that certain engineers, such as myself, I'm a former aerospace engineer. Let's say certain engineers were given an unlimited amount of money and whatever time it was to create and replicate these technologies. Let's say they did that 40 or 50 years ago. And at that stage, let's just say that they had perfected this kind of technology. And I have no doubt that that's actually what happened. If an engineer has the money to do it, they will perfect a tool or a device, but they won't put it on the shelf and let it collect dust. They will use it. And they'll keep using it and keep tweaking it and perfecting it until it's bigger and faster and works more efficiently. And what I'm suggesting, if this isn't clear, that not only have we manufactured small flying discs in secret laboratories in the Antelope Valley in California, we have also built larger ones. Now, you've probably heard about these reports of large black triangles.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been reported in many parts of the world. And I'm suggesting that some, not all, but some of these black triangles are simply a further development of these technologies, and that the U.S. government has funded a project where these large triangles have been manufactured to carry crews, in other words, crewmen and crewwomen, and space modules and consumables to other places. And I'm suggesting this would be to the moon. I'm suggesting this could be to Mars, and in fact, to to the stars.
We gotta take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna talk about the various forms of alien life and also abductions and much more. Do you have an interesting career? Do you have an interesting life experience to share with others? If you'd like to be a guest on You Talking to Me, contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking to Me website. That's youtalkingtome.ca. The letter U, talking, the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca. All right, we're back with author and ufology researcher T.L. Keller, and we're discussing UFOs and extraterrestrials. Also want to make mention that you have your own radio talk show, a podcast, actually, and maybe you could tell us a little bit about that, where listeners can find it.
Yes, it's been on for about a month and a half. It can be accessed at webtalkradio.net. And the name of my program is Are UFOs Real? And basically, we interview people who have had firsthand or secondhand experiences with UFOs and extraterrestrial beings, and we also interview skeptics. So we're trying to answer that question, are UFOs real?
All right, good stuff.
And so go ahead. And so we've so far, I've had a Navy pilot, for example, that encountered a 30-foot flying disc while he was flying an A-4 Skyhawk near Vietnam. And we've had a university professor that has talked about technologies relating to this, and a number of people. So it's I like to think that it's aimed basically at the general public, and what we're trying to do is to enlighten them. Because one of the problems about UFOs is that many people think that, or believe, let's use that word, that UFOs are real. But the problem with at least the American public is they don't see how it affects them personally. And the thing is, it does, because the issue is, what are we missing by not having this technology made available to the world? And we will continue to burn fossil fuels, that is, crude oil or natural gas, until it runs out, or until some other reason for the disclosure of this black technology comes out. And I don't think it's going to come out, to tell you the truth, anytime soon.
Now tell us about your book, The Total Novice's Guide to UFOs and What You Need to Know.
Oh, terrific. Thank you for asking. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, it's a unique book on UFOs, extraterrestrial beings, and the secret American anti-gravity technology program. We combined all of that, and also we talked about crop circles, cattle mutilations, and any number of other topics. It's 500 pages, and it's printed in full color, and the purpose is to introduce in a straightforward way this topic to the general public. And it's done in such a way that even young people can read it. We're not trying to scare anybody. We're not trying to create fear. We just are trying to inform the general public as to its importance and how it is affecting them. What we need is pollution-free, low-cost electrical energy. And that's what these technologies can provide, and it can be provided to the entire world. Now, there are people who are trying to bring these technologies out, including Stephen Greer's Disclosure Project and a new group that's called Thrive Movement. And it's being done by one of the heirs of the Procter & Gamble fortune, and they've become very interested in introducing these technologies to the world. So that's pretty much it. And I do have a website. It's called the Total Novices Guide.com. And that book is available at that website.
Okay. Is so, the book also available at Amazon and other places as well?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And actually, it's available through any good bookseller. If you go to Barnes & Noble or Walden Books, you can place an order right there, and they'll fulfill that order.
Great. Once again, that's The Total Novice's Guide to UFOs, What You Need to Know. And you also do a number of speaking engagements?
Yes, that's right. Thank you. You're all hitting on all the good points here for me.
I want to make sure listeners know.
I'll be speaking this year at the International MUFON Symposium. It is being held in Kentucky on, I believe it's August the 4th, and I'll be speaking on the topic extraterrestrials, friends or foes. So it should be fun.
That will lead me to my next question. Friend or foes, tell us a little bit about some of these different types of extraterrestrial life forms, and are some friendly, are any enemies of ours?
Well, imagine this. I used to work in New York City, and I would go down to Times Square every once in a while, and I'd stand on a corner, and I'd look at all of these various people from all parts of the world. Different skin colors, different languages, and obviously different interests and motivations. And some of them were very friendly. I mean, there's some people that you could run into and ask a question, and they would tell you where something was. Others were basically indifferent to you. You could ask them a question, and they just walk right on by. And then other people in Times Square would do something that is not nice, such as picking your pocket. The point being is these folks come from all parts of the world, and they have different interests. And so what I'm saying is, if we have all of these various extraterrestrial and interdimensional beings coming here to Earth, they don't have all the same objectives and motivations. They're here for different reasons. Just as an analogy to Times Square, it's logical to think that some of them are very friendly, some may be indifferent to you, and some may not be so friendly. And I guess that's the point that I'm trying to make. Many of these individuals obviously evolved in a different manner than human beings. On the other hand, there are some of these beings which are basically just like us. They're what are called Nordics. And they're typically somewhere between 5.5 to 6 feet tall. They may have blonde hair, blue eyes, and if you put street clothes on them, you would not be able to tell them from anybody else on the street. Now, a friend of mine who is a very well-known British author, his name is Timothy Good. He was once in a hotel lobby at the Waldorf in New York City. And he was sitting in the lobby, and there was this individual across from him who was reading a newspaper. Well, the newspaper was upside down. And suddenly, Timothy Good got what he describes as telepathic messages. And he looked around for someone that might have been sending these messages to him. And the individual with the newspaper lowered the newspaper, and he looked like just anybody else. But he was transmitting telepathic messages to Timothy Good, and they were having a conversation. Tim Good is a very good friend of mine, and I accept that completely, because these beings, some of them have been here for a very long time, and they look just like us. And I'm not just talking about 10 or 100 years. I personally believe that some extraterrestrial or interdimensional beings have been here for millions of years.
Wow. And what's your experience with the research in alien abductions?
You know, I attend many of these UFO conferences around the country. In fact, I just got back from one that was in Scottsdale last week. Now, I have a big banner behind my table, and it says, you know, if you've had a UFO experience and you'd like to talk about it on the radio, please tell it to T.L. Keller. And you'd be surprised how many people at this event came up and gave me their card and told me their personal stories. I had one woman who had been abducted multiple times over her life, her entire lifetime, and she was probably late 40s, early 50s. She said, I've been dealing with this all my life, and I've never told anybody about it, and I would like to talk to you on the radio and relieve some of these pent-up fears and emotions and explain it how it works on your program. And I've had other people who in her case, they were negative experiences. She was abducted out of her bedroom, and various experiments had been performed on her, they terrified her over her lifetime. Of course, gradually she became more used to this, but it was unpleasant. On the other hand, I've had other people come up to me and tell me that some of these extraterrestrials are very loving and caring, and they're here for altruistic purposes. So this just sort of gives you a sense of the spectrum of their experiences, and a lot of people have been having this over their lifetimes. I think there are millions of people who have been abducted, believe it or not, or simply contacted. Now, the ones that have had a positive experience are typically called contactees. They don't have a fear of them, and they may have a conversation with them. They may board their craft. I've talked to some people who've actually said that they've been transported somewhere in one of these flying disc devices. So, you know, there's a whole spectrum of experience out there, from being extremely friendly to being very unfriendly. See, I consider that to be unfriendly when, you know, you're taken out of your bedroom forcibly and put aboard some craft, and then someone starts taking body fluids out of you. This is not something that I consider to be friendly. Just my personal perspective. Other people have a slightly different viewpoint on this. Some people say that they are doing this as a long-term project to somehow save the world. Now that brings in other issues too, but some people, they're different opinions on this.
Well, TL, we're out of time. It's been great having you on the show. Tell listeners again where they can find your book and find you on the web and your talk show.
Sure. It's webtalkradio.net, and the name of my program is Are UFOs Real? And my book is called The Total Novice's Guide to UFOs. It is available through my website, thetotalnovicesguide.com, or you can go to any good bookseller and order it. And by the way, if you buy it through my website, I have a satisfaction or your money-back guarantee. It's 500 pages printed in full color. And they don't just do books like that these days, but this one is. And thank you very much for asking me onto your program. I very much appreciate it.
All right, TL, thanks a lot.
Bye now.
Well, I think whether you believe in UFOs and extraterrestrials or not, you can't deny the information can really make you wonder. And next week on the show, University of Windsor's Women's Studies and CMF Professor M. Heather Hartley. This is 99.1 FM, CJAM, Redefining Radio in Windsor and Detroit. I'm Big JD. Thanks for listening.